mind is universal and is everywhere, and the mind is truly illumined. But we have a brain, and we use our brain to be aware of the illumined mind. We use our brain to be aware of the divine mind. We use our brain to be aware and to utilize the infinite wisdom, the knowledge, the genius of the universe right now and every moment of our life. We use our brain for our illumined mind. Now, to live in a state of illumination, to live in the state of an illumined mind, means that every single moment of our life, we live in the awareness that we are one as all. Now, that seems like it'd be a little difficult thing to do, to think of yourself all the time as one as all. Now, how do you think of yourself as one as all? How do you think of yourself as being illumined? Well, no matter what thought comes into your consciousness, no matter what idea comes into your thinking system, into your brain, no matter what comes up, you have the ability to look at it and say, that is interesting. The thought comes to you to write a book, and you say, that is interesting. And then you say to yourself, but I have so many beautiful ideas going through my mind, so many beautiful ideas about love and peace and harmony and joy and balance, and oh, it's so wonderful. Okay, so I have an illumined mind, and I use that illumined mind to write the book. I use that illumined mind to sit down at my computer and take one topic at a time and just let my thinking system think about that one topic. And as I think about that one topic, ideas will come to me, ideas that are already in my mind, already in the illumined mind in me, already in my brain. And then I begin to write them down. Now, if I were to write a book about, let's say, horses, and horses are not my forte, but I know a little bit about them, and the first thing I would do would be to say, my memory of a horse. As a young person, I lived at our lake cottage in the summertime, and we would go to the nearby farms, and we would play around fields and by the little creeks that run through the farm back in Wisconsin, and it was quite lovely. Well, there was a mule there that was very, very interesting. He seemed to invite us to play with him. And so my sister May, who was always sort of precocious about everything in life, she decided she was going to get on that mule and ride it. And so she rode the mule. We all helped her get on. And we pushed her up there, and she slid up there. She was maybe 10, 11 years old. And as she sat on the mule let her sit there comfortably. And she kicked the mule in the ribs a little bit and said, let's move. Come on, let's go. And so the mule began to walk. But the mule walked over to the stream. And then the mule bent over to take a drink at the stream. And then May was kind of precarious sitting up on top of the mule, and she said, hey, wait. And so she held on to the mule's neck a little bit. And mule thought, hey, I don't really like this person sitting on top of me. And so he bucked her off, and she fell plunk-ker-plunch right in the middle of the stream. But that didn't stop May. She got right out of the stream and shook herself off like a puppy dog, and had us help her climb back up on that mule. Now, she did that several times. And eventually, the mule said, okay, it's a game you want to play, so go ahead. And so he would walk around a little bit, not like May would like him to, but he walked around a little bit. Well, that was my first episode with an animal that was big, like a horse. At another time, my dear friends, the Myers, had a horse at their ranch out in Wisconsin and out in the moorland. And so I went out there on my bike and I said, I would like to ride your horse. And they said, of course. And I knew nothing about riding horses. And so I got on this horse and I rode the horse. And I wanted to show the horse to my girlfriend. So I rode in the middle of the freeway in the median strip where the grass was. And I rode from Moreland's into town, into West Dallas where Faith lived. And I rode up to her house on this horse. Well, I was feeling all sorts of ginger. I was feeling just great. The horse behaved and the horse did everything fine. And I got Faith up on the horse and she rode the horse around her backyard. And her mom and dad came out and said, wow, that's pretty nice. And after about an hour or so of this, I got back on the horse to ride it back out to the moorlands, back to Doug Myers' farm. And so I rode on the median strip again. There was no rule against riding there. People didn't do it, but there was no rule against it that I knew of. And I rode back to Doug's house. And I fixed up the horse nicely, like I should before I gave it to him. And I brushed him down, and I took his saddle, and took all the tack and put it away properly. And then I went to my bike to ride back home to Wauwatosa. And so I rode for this time. But as I was riding, my legs were getting stiffer and stiffer and stiffer. They had not been accustomed to being spread so long and riding on top of a horse. And so when I got home, it was supper time and bedtime, and I went to bed. And the next morning, I could hardly get up. And I went to school. I went to Marquette University in Milwaukee, where I was going to school. And I tried to walk up the stairs to the various classes that I had, and my legs wouldn't lift. And everybody looked at me and said, hey, what's going on with you? Well, I was horseback riding yesterday, and I hadn't been horseback riding ever before. Wow. How long were you sitting on that horse? Well, off and on for about 5 hours. 5 hours. Wow. My goodness. And so my friends would help me walk up the staircase to the classes because we didn't want to miss any classes. But I'll never forget that about that horse. I'll never forget that about really having an illumined mind to know exactly what to do. So I knew what to do. My mind went back to that journey just as I took you there now. And I remembered it fully because I have an illumined mind, as we all do. And I could travel to any point in time and space or any experience or any activity that I may have known or have gone through. And I can take from it all the blessings. Well, now, I remembered my stiff legs, but I couldn't remember them, really. I remembered trying to go up the stairs and having friends help me, but I remembered the friends helping me more than the stiffness of going up the stairs. It wasn't long before my legs were back in normal focus again, but I didn't remember the pain. I didn't remember the unhappiness. I only remembered the joyous experiences of that wonderful journey with the horse. Of that wonderful journey with May riding on the mule, with the wonderful activities that take place in our mind, and our illumined thought takes us into that journey and into those adventures, and we remember them very specifically and very wonderfully. But to what value, to what benefit is it to remember those stories? Isn't of no value and no specifics to remember. It just tells us that we can do that. That we have an illumined mind that retains all of those adventures, all of those experiences, and all the knowledge of the infinite is in us, readily available to us as we call it forth to be expressed in any way in our mind. This is how our illumined mind works, always ready to be aware of anything that we choose to have it be aware of. I think about horses. I think about people. I think about cars. I think about thinking. I think about the different universities that I've attended. I think about the various activities that I've done. I think about my various friends. I think about my family. All of these are the action of an illumined mind. And how little we have given credence to this illumined mind. How little we have given attention and awareness to this illumined mind. But we can. Let's start today by saying our illumined mind is our awareness.